Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello.
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Red Rebel Radio. I'm Ben, and I've just rung up Swampy right now. Swampy, how are they?
Absolutely average. Bang, bang, average.
Bang, bang, average. Where are you? Well,
that's what happens when I talk to you, Ben, unfortunately. Oh, that's one of those things in life, isn't it? But where am I? Well, I'm in another part of the world this week. It's the Red Rebel Radio show has sort of like gone... It's gone global, hasn't it? Every other week, I seem to be in a different part of the country or a different part of Europe. This week, I'm on a beautiful island.
Oh.
I'm on the island of Ireland.
Again? God, they can't get rid of you.
But this time, I'm in old Belfast, I am.
Oh.
I'm going around doing Jim McDonnell impressions, really impressing everyone. Oh, they love it. They love
I
a Mancunian.
I bet
they don't half love a Mancunian doing an impression of a man from the north of Ireland. And in fact, what I've been doing is, because obviously Brexit is a hugely important issue, certainly in the north of Ireland. I mean,
Brexit, what's that?
You know,
what's that?
It's what I had this morning. With two rounds of toast and a cup of coffee. It was lovely. Lovely. And breakfast means breakfast.
You do joke, but there was a guy in Question Time last night, the Labour guy, who every time he mentioned the word Brexit had to correct himself because he nearly said the word breakfast.
How
hard is it? It's called Brexit. Brexit does mean Brexit in that instance.
It does indeed, Ben. Yeah. But the problem they have here in the north is if there is a hard border, you've got places where really, really near on the border. Now, from a species perspective, very, very difficult.
Well, for you as well, I'd imagine, the way you zigzag around Europe, you don't want any border, do you?
No borders at all. But, I mean, the thing is, what I've established is actually you can establish a animal from the north and an animal from the south. Because let's say you're on the border, you know, Monaghan and the likes around that area there, you're just on the borders. If you hear a southern cow goes, murr, murr, murr.
That's a northern cow. That's clearly a
northern cow. No, a northern cow is me, me.
Oh, you're right. Me, you are right.
Me,
you're so right. Sorry.
You see, so this is the problem. But they've got the giant lake, and half of that lake's in the north and half of the lake's in the south.
Well, they're going to have to get a navy then, aren't they?
they're fishing away. It's a northern fish. Back it goes. Oh, there's a southern fish. Oh, we can have that.
Oh, is it like the Sea of Galilee? Can you actually fish on that lake?
In fairness, I just used it for comedy purposes. Oh. I'm not quite sure whether or not there's any fish in there, or indeed you can do that.
Does the lake actually exist? Does it actually exist?
The lake does it. Okay. Ben, I'm not even. I was about to tell you which lake it was,
okay.
But I'm not now.
Oh,
it's
no,
for you.
Tell me.
No. It's for you, the listener, to do your geography and have a look at the lake that is actually half in the north and half in the south.
Are you saying lake or is it a lock?
I'm giving you the English opportunity. You can have a lock if you want.
Anyway,
there's a whole host of different things.
Okay. So, hello everyone. Welcome to Red Rebel Radio. On this week's show, we're going to give you a brief tourist guide of Nuneaton. We're also going to give you some form of fixture preview for the match against Nuneaton, and we should say later on as well, we're going to be discussing all kinds of stuff. Oh, and Cockers says hello.
Oh, hello, Cockers.
Yeah, good. No, we're recording a show. You can't come in.
Hello,
right,
hello.
That was like
one of those news broadcasts when someone is long for the United Nations talking about something serious and the kids running.
Oh yeah, I actually had my hand in her face, pushing her away from the microphone.
But just well, that's typical of you, you know, radio stealer.
Why am I a radio stealer?
Well, everyone now knows this is the Ben Rebel radio show.
Featuring Swamper. I like that. Well done, Tim. That's funny. Right. we should start the show off in serious mood because last week we mentioned John Cunliffe and, he sadly passed away this week and some people are suggesting it's the curse of Ben's Red Rebel Radio in brackets featuring Swamper. I mean, what's your take?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you know, we're stealing some thunder, aren't we, this week from a Northern Soul and Soul show, because that show on FC Radio, basically on a weekly basis, as a tribute to someone that's died, you know. And I think it's only fitting that we, for some reason, I think we should play Postman Pat music. It should be played. But as we're doing this segment, Ben, I think what should happen is that they should have the music behind us of Postman Pat and Rosie and Jim. I think that'd be a lovely thing to insert in this part of the show. And, oh, Ben, you've done it. Oh, I can hear it in my headphones now. That's lovely. The listeners are going to really enjoy that. But, yeah, it's a sad thing, but...
It's your childhood, isn't it?
No, Ben.
Oh, sorry, you're teenage years. You're a bit older than me.
I still sat down and watched it. I still sat down and watched it, though. It was great. Yeah. Rosie and Jim bobbing along on the old rag doll. Goodness me, what a show.
I was tugging along. Didn't we discuss this last week? Anyway.
Yeah.
Before we crack on with the football this week, just to talk about the FA Cup, because the FA Cup draw happened this early in the week. Obviously, you were here for the Colne match. We've got Witten at home next Saturday.
I bet you're pleased with that, aren't you, Ben?
It means I can kill two birds with one stone. I can do interviews.
Just primarily from a pronunciation perspective.
Witten. Yeah,
there you go.
Witten.
Well, no, yeah, Witten. You know, forget the T's, Ben. We don't need Witten.
They're not important.
Witten.
Speaking of Brewery Field, Spennymoor were the ones who got knocked out by Witten Albion in the last round. And people are going, oh, that's a good draw. But it's a tricky draw, isn't it, Swamper? Very tricky.
Yes, Ben. Very tricky. No, it's going to be a tough old game. It's at Broadhurst Park, though. If we can get a crowd like we got in the previous game against Colne, I think that's going to be good financially. It's a winnable game, certainly, but it's going to be a tough test and a sterner test than Colne. And no disrespect to Colne, who've got a very good team, but Witten are a good team, good bit of quality. Top draw manager, doing well with them. And let's hope that FC United can move forward into the next round and on the 6th of October. But it will be tough, but equally, I think we've got the calibre and the quality amongst the team to progress further.
And we should say, Witten Albion weren't the only team to cause an upset. Boston out at the hands of Peterborough Sports in the last round. Leamington out at the hands of Stourbridge. And Blyth and Stockport nearly got knocked out as well. So it's a tough game. Tough game against Witten, definitely.
Yeah, of course it is. But that's the FA Cup, isn't it? And that's the nature of sport and football, that, you know, you come up against some teams that are less inferior. You come up with teams that are actually better than you. And all you've got to do is test yourself. And, you know, Witten will come under no illusions that they're up against a team that have been struggling, that have just slacked to a degree, just slowly but surely getting back on a level keel, and they won't take us lightly. And I'm sure David, I know his mother's listening, David Chadwick won't be taking it lightly. And you'll have a couple of the lads out there probably watching them this weekend. And, you know, we'll probably be prepared in the right manner, and hopefully we can get the winners a say.
And you mentioned Mr. Chadwick there. He's had another busy week in the old transfer market. Two players in, two players out. Firstly, let's talk about the departures. Scott Kay basically had enough of football, really, and decided to leave the club. And Sam Baird's gone on loan to Drolsden till Christmas. Firstly, Kay.
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes, footballers need a bit of a break. He's played. I mean, the lad was at Man City from the age of about 9 or 10. So he's probably had about, actually, in reality, I bet he's had about 15 to 18 years of constant football. And, you know, you've got a young family. You've got work commitments that take you around the country, which I know that's why he wasn't at pre-season. And sometimes it takes its toll. I think any player that needs a break, you've got to be honest with yourself. And I think a lot of footballers just carry on playing and playing and playing and playing until they can't walk or indeed they're just not up to it anymore. The one thing I would say about Scott Kay is that he'll have a break. I think he'll probably come back at some stage because he's young enough and certainly fit enough to come back. And we saw his fitness levels were excellent when he came back against for the Altrincham game without a pre-season. So have a break. Thank him for his service to the club. He's done. He's been there for a number of years now and always put in the hard work. He's always been committed, sometimes overcommitted, you might say. Mm-hmm. But the same token, that's the type of person he is and the type of footballer he is. We wish him good luck in the future. And it wouldn't surprise me, though, that he, at some stage, probably now the next season, that he's back in football at some level or in some degree.
And to be honest with you, the amount of non-league clubs in Greater Manchester, it's... be all too tempting for him, won't it, really, to be fair? I mean,
well, it all depends, really. I think he's made his choice. He's recognised he wants to have a little bit of a break. And I can see him coming back. But going on to Sam Baird.
Yeah, Sam Baird. Yeah, on loan.
Yeah, I mean, and personally, I think it's... I can understand to a certain degree where David's coming from and putting him out on loan, wants to get him super fit, probably believes he's not 100% fit, but... you know, and for more experience. But let's not forget, the lad has played over 40 games for FC United. He's been, you know, certainly one of the more consistent players this season, as far as I'm concerned. And I think you would agree with that in many of the games that we've played. There is obviously a selection headache with so many centre-halves in the team. And you've got some players that are a little bit more experienced. But he's gone. He'll be back in December. It'll be all the better for it, one would expect. I'm just hope it doesn't backfire on Dave because... Oh, David, sorry, goodness gracious. I get fed up saying this. Dave.
The thing is about... we'll come back to Ben in a minute. The thing is that the difficulty we've all got with Mr. Chadwick is the fact that you want to call him Chaddy, but you can't because that's a bit disrespectful given the fact he's manager. So you've got to go with David, but David sounds a bit too formal considering the fact that you wrote about 2 seconds ago you were going to call him Chaddy. So you go with Dave, but he doesn't like the word Dave. So it's like...
No, he doesn't like it. What you can do is you can turn around and say, Mrs. Chadwick, I love you to bits, but I'm afraid I can't do this anymore. I've held my tongue, I've bitten my lip, and I'm not prepared. You might call him David, but to us, he's the nutter in the middle. You know, he's Chaddy, he's Dave. And for purposes of this show, and my continuation of actually being able to interview him, if I'm ever allowed to again, after seeing Mrs. Chadwick, is... I'm going to call him Dave. It's easier. It's easier. It's better. It rolls off the tongue more. And I'm just saying, for his Sunday best, perhaps. My mother calls me Stephen, and as soon as she says that, I know I'm in trouble. She wants me for something. David is the same. She'll call me Steve most of the time, but Steve is my Sunday name. And I think unless we're playing on a Sunday, David will be Dave. Continuously. So sorry about that, Mrs. Chadwick.
Yes.
I thought I learned a lesson last week. Can't do it. Sorry. I mean, I've got to be true to myself. And in all fairness, it's our show. You know, we make the rules. And, at the end of the day.
Show. I like that.
I see what you're saying there. Yeah, carry on. Right.
Bed. There is an
argument. I'm actually lying in bed.
There is an argument to say that if the loan works in the fact that Dave Pace is going to play him at Drolsden up until Christmas, then that's not a bad thing. It's if it's a Mike Jones loan similar to Padding where he's not playing, that's just a waste of time, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and I'm sure Dave Chadwick, see, I'm doing it again, Dave, I would suggest that Mr. Chadwick, David, Dave, Chad E. Wick, would have said to Dave Pace, look, the reason why you're getting him is a decent quality player and you've got to play him. You know, I don't want him sat on the bench. I don't want him just festering without actually playing. So I'm hoping that the arrangement is that he comes in and he plays. You know, there's no point in saying being on the bench because that's no good to anybody. And he's a young lad still. He's only 20 and he needs games. And hopefully Mr. Pace will give him them. And good luck to him at Drawsden. They've got, what they've got is they've got a quality player, you know, for, till December. I just hope it doesn't backfire on FC in any way, shape or form.
And also gone, Liam Dickinson. And,
yeah,
that's an interesting move as well. I mean, I don't think Liam was gonna feature necessarily, but he could have, like he proved at Chester, he was good as an impact player. But it's whether he's happy to do that or not, I suppose.
Look, he's had a good career, and I think sometimes, this is a personal opinion. I think sometimes the brain works fantastically well, and close up you can do something, but the legs won't help you, and I think that's the situation. I don't think his body is at the same wavelength as his brain. Yeah, he scored a good header against Altrincham, the overhead kick against Chester, but the same token, you know, he could go probably to a club lower down in a couple of divisions maybe and enjoy it, and he might well do that. I don't know, but I think at the level he was at this stage of his career, I think it's a little bit too much for him. But I can see him, you know, he wants to play. You know, I think he wants another season, at least two seasons out of himself. But I think he'll need to take a step back and have a think which division he wants to play in. And I think there'll be plenty of teams that want a big, strong, good quality, you know, player with pedigree. And, you know, I'm sure it's not the last time we've heard or seen of him, but I can't see him playing in the National League North again, to be honest.
And I think that's all the departures now, unless I've forgotten one from earlier in the week. There's been a fair amount of news coming in and out. I mean, this updating on the squad and all that, it has gone up a notch or two, certainly. But two players coming in this week. Theo Brealey from Stoke, formerly of Stoke's Academy, 20-year-old attacking midfielder. And Cole Lonsdale, 19-year-old left-back from Bolton Wanderers. They're young, on paper, exciting players, it looks like.
They are, and that's one of the reasons why I think Dave is probably put out to a degree. Sam Baird on loan, because I think he's probably looking at his team, looking at the structure, looking at the defence, and he's thinking, well, you know, he pretty wants to play O'Halloran more central with Priestley or with Lynch, and out left back. He's now got an out and out left back, and he's also got an out and out right back in senior. So he can have those two bobbing up a little bit more. He could even play maybe a five at the back, so to speak, with the two wing backs, or he's at the three centre halves and the two wing backs.
What about Lewis Thompson?
Well, Lewis Thompson has been absolutely outstanding for us, but it is a short term loan, and I suppose it would suggest that, you know, bringing the lad in from Bolton may mean that Lewis is going back to his club. However, for me, it would be great if we could have more of an extended loan period for him, because he's been a player that's shown great, great quality. And I'm sure his own club and his own club scouts that have been watching him have been very impressed with him. So I suppose that's just backup. I mean, if let's say the loan is coming to an end at the end of this month, which is obviously what we're on today, it's the 29th. So tomorrow, end of the month tomorrow, it might be his last game, so he's brought in this player to cover there, and having, you know, someone straight in at left back, I think gives Dave's options in regards to how he wants to set the team up. But yeah, you know, an attacking midfield player and equally a left back. You know, it's the team is being bonded and being brought in a certain way, and Dave at the moment is doing a good job, I think. Yeah, than a good job.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we are going to be look out for Mr. Chadwick's Friday night interview. That'll be available on Audio Boom. But all roads now lead to down south to Nuneaton. Very strange place, got to be honest, as a ground. There's obviously the rugby ground and all that stuff. When you get there, though, It's a decent setup to watch the match from. We've had some decent days there and some not so good days there.
You summed it up perfectly, Ben. It's everything you say it is. It's a decent venue. It's a good pitch. It's a nice little ground. We need to go there tomorrow, you know, for all intents and purposes, to win that game. And I strongly believe we have to win that game. From a club perspective, it's a must-need win. I think from a supporter's perspective, from in the league, although we won against Colne, which was excellent, but we need a good league victory. And I think also for the fact that if David Chadwick wants the job, as he does, and we know he's put his hat into the ring, then he needs to go down there and show that he's capable of taking a team away from home and being a team one place below us in the division and making sure that we can separate ourselves from Nuneaton and get a victory. So it's going to be very difficult and very, very tough because both teams have been struggling in the division, in the league. However, I think the calibre of player that we've got in the team with the experience and the youthful exuberance, then there's no reason why we can't go out and get that victory. But I think it's a vital and pivotal game tomorrow for FC United of Manchester.
Absolutely. And at the same time, Blyth Spartans will be hosting Telford United. Brackley will be hosting Southport. It is a six-pointer, but it's also a match where if we do get a good result, we could see ourselves out the bottom three, which would be quite significant, I feel.
Well, psychological being at the bottom three is always a good thing. You know, once you get out there, everyone goes, oh, we're not in the bottom three. You know, the players will be happy. There'll be a buzz around the place. You know, it's a long journey there. And the last thing you want to do is have that long journey back and with a heavy defeat or, in fact, any form of defeat. So they've got to go out there tomorrow and they've got to hit the ground running from the early parts of the game. It's a big, long, flat surface of the ground. And let's see and hope that we can get the three vital points. And as you say, though there's other teams around us that are just a couple of steps away from us point-wise, if we can get the right result and they can either falter or get, you know, only draws, then it takes us even further away from that bottom three, and we can then set ourselves a target. And I'm sure David is setting himself a weekly or monthly target, you know, of how many points he wants, where he sees us at the end of October. So, you know, it all starts tomorrow with the Nuneaton game.
And it's about destabilising the opposition as well. I mean, the pressure's on Southport, we all know that, and the pressure will be on Blyth if results go our way. So it's all stuff. I mean, we are only 10 games into the season.
We are 10 games. And Southport and Blyth and FC, and no one's looking over the shoulder at any other club at this moment. No one's looking at what they're doing with 10 games in. They're just basically, you know, you've got to just do what you do. And, you know, if you do it in the right manner and you apply yourself and you work hard and you're mentally and physically fit, then, you know, the results will come. And if they don't, and you've put all the effort in, it just means that you're not quite good enough. And, you know, where you finish at the end of the season, be it top, middle or bottom, is the rightful thing. So, you know, we just concentrate on ourselves, move forward and hopefully give the fans something to cheer about tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Just before we get to the tourist guy for Nuneaton, just little bits of housekeeping. Merseyrail ladies will be taking on FC United on Sunday. We'll have full commentary at 2 o'clock. FC Live on Saturday is FC United against Nuneaton. Full commentary from 2:30. And we should say the women's team are also in third qualifying round action in the Women's FA Cup next Sunday, where they've been drawn at home to Bridlington Rovers. And we'll have coverage of that game as well.
Ooh.
I know. So, just before we go, there's going to be a lot of people travelling down south. More people interested in what pubs they could go to watch United. But we're here to let the more cultured listener who is interested in not just going to another pub with Foster's on tap, who want to get out and see the surroundings around Liberty.
It's funny, because here we've got Foster's and Allen, not Foster's and Tap.
Harts Hill Hayes Country Park Swamper is the number one thing to do in Nuneaton. Some great reviews here. Great outdoor space to walk with dogs and the kids, and a good day out in a nice park. Don't forget your wellies. And it's also nice for a picnic too, apparently. So
I'm just thinking, you know, every week we've been doing this little segment of the show.
Yes.
Are we suggesting that people go to these towns and cities and actually don't watch the game and go and do this instead.
No, just get down there early. It's like the
old, right.
Yeah,
I just get down there early.
I mean, for example, I'm just making sure
that's all.
The third favourite thing for everyone who goes to Nuneaton is the Nuneaton Museum and Art Gallery, and that opens at 10:30.
So, does it?
Yeah, and it's got a lovely, lovely bit of gardens and stuff, and they've got a cafe there too, and yeah, it's lovely stuff. I think that's it, though, joking aside for Nuneaton. I can't think...
It doesn't surprise me, in all fairness. It's a lovely place, though. It's a lovely place.
Oh, you could do the Krypton Factor virtual flight experience in Wolvie, which is just 5 miles out of town. And it's Swampy, anything else?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, basically, you mentioned art gallery there. Well, actually, I'm off after this show, off to an art gallery, because that is the place where we start our afternoon of frivolity and fun, because I'm over here in Belfast to celebrate Mark Sparky Harvey's and Suzanne Orr's wedding at City Hall this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So I'll be in the gallery. It's all gone very, very, very posh Belfast. It's not what I'm used to be honest. I'm used to eating a bag of chips on the Falls Road, falling out of the Red Devil Bar, and I'm drinking in posh bars and eateries. But yeah, so we're starting there. It's their wedding this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to that. So I just thought I'd say a big congratulations to the pair of them. If by this time next week I'm back on the show and it never happened, I'll let you all know, because you're never quite sure if these things are actually going to happen until they happen. Ben
Lock Ross, that's
Ben. I'm not giving it away. I mean, this is the whole point for the radio listener to go out there and do a little bit of soul searching, a little bit of geography and a little bit of history.
I'm literally just on Google Maps running along Irish UK border. Just
I could hear you. Yeah, I could hear you. Yeah. But well, yeah, I mean. The mythical border, yes.
There's a cracking video that the Financial Times did with Steve Rea, which was a poem thing. Track it down on YouTube. It's really, really good about the border and stuff. But anyway, Swampy, just before you go,
I did think it was a good Labour Party conference. I thought the fact that...
Oh, Swampy, what did you think of the Labour Party conference?
I thought it was particularly good, Ben. I think they set the stall out very, very well. I think the fact that Mr. Corbyn and Keir Starmer have been over to see Mr. Clinker.
Clinker?
John Clinker.
Junker?
Yeah, Clinker. Oh, he's not called Clinker.
No.
I thought it was Mr. Clinker.
I thought they were seeing Barnier anyway. I thought it was Barnier they were seeing.
Oh, was it Barnier?
Yes. To be fair, this is more informative than Newsnight. So
I think, well, of course, yeah, or the Andrew Marr show on a Sunday. But no, I think it's been a very interesting week. I think the Labour Party have set themselves the stall out very well. I think we all know exactly now their Brexit position. I think that's been done in the right manner. And we're waiting to take over and govern once again.
We?
Power to the people.
We are waiting to take over? What, FC Radio?
Well,
You can be Chancellor. All right, I'll let you be Chancellor.
Well, there you go. See, there you go. Already, I'll let you. You've already said, I mean, the fact that you said we, as in Red Rebel, as in FC Radio, I thought you said, what, my Red Rebel radio show, but you didn't. And then you went straight back into, I'll let you be Chancellor.
Just before you go, a song for this week?
Oh, it has to be it's a fantastic band. They started off many, many years ago. In fact, this song I'm going to get you to play, there's a video to accompany it by that was actually produced by Snub. Do you remember Snub TV? It was like a very good tube. It was absolutely outstanding. All the best bands like the Pixies and everyone was on there. Really good show. Really, really good show. And the band I want to play is the band called the Fatima Mansions, Ben. They're a band from North of Ireland. So I thought I'd say yes to the Fatima Mansions here, and I wanted to play Only Losers Take the Bus. This is a song dedicated to Berkey.
Oh, yeah, because of his bus blog that he's got.
Yeah. Totally all dedicated to Berkey. Fatima Mansions, Only Losers Take the Bus. Come on, FC. Let's get the 3 points tomorrow. FC Women, hope they do well on Saturday, Sunday as well. Let's win tomorrow against Nuneaton. Let's set our stall out well and let's move forward. Good luck this afternoon to Sparky and to Suzanne in their wedding. I'll see you next week. Looking forward to it. And hopefully there'll be a general election and we'll already have a Labour government in by this time next week.
Bye, Swampy. Down, she's the flower. Public system. Burn down.
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the Balm Cake.